so clearly, what was that?
That was the atomic bomb.
It was the atomic bomb, okay? So this is what we're going to talk about today, is the Manhattan Project.
So you might want to know this, okay?
So the Manhattan Project is the code name we gave to the creation of the atomic bomb, hence the big A bomb here, okay? So it's nicknamed the Manhattan Project, top secret government project. Well, yeah, this came out later, but that's what it was known as back then, is the Manhattan Project. So all during World War II, this was happening secretly in this country, yeah.
Is there a difference between the atomic bomb, nuclear bomb, and
yes.
hydrogen bomb?
Yes, and we'll talk about it. Okay. So, of course, it was all created by this. Anybody know the guy on the left?
Einstein.
Einstein.
How about the guy on the right?
I know it, but I can't think of it.
All right. So, the guy on the left, of course, everybody knows him. Albert Einstein. In case you didn't know who Einstein was, he was a theoretical physicist. Okay? So we worked with, a lot of things on gravity and space and the theories of laws of nature in space and stuff like that. But a lot to do with physics and particles as well. But he was from Germany. Albert Einstein was German. So during World War II, he was lucky enough to escape early, get away. Albert Einstein was Jewish. So he escaped Nazi Germany. So... yay for Einstein. Came to this country towards the end of his days.
Mr. Highland.
Uh-huh.
Didn't one of his theories get actually approved that it actually exists? The
most of them have been approved.
Wave stuff?
Mm-hmm. Most of them have been approved. All right. And here's the next one. So, that's Einstein on the left. And, of course, the guy you probably don't know is this guy, Enrico Fermi. So he was a nuclear physicist. He was a Nobel Prize winner. So remember, those are like the super, super smart people. Okay, best in the world. And he escaped fascist Italy. So you got a guy that escaped Nazi Germany. And then you got a guy that escaped fascist Italy. Okay? So both, you call them refugees from World War II that came to this country. Both, of course, are extremely, extremely brilliant people.
Doesn't someone have to give them those prizes, like...
the Nobel Prize?
Because they're so smart.
Yeah, it's a committee held every year, and they decide who gets it, and this guy got it for physics.
But doesn't someone have to be smarter than them or smart as them to find out if they're actually...
it's a committee of people, so it's an organization. Good question, though. All right. So... why would they come to this country? Anybody want to guess?
Because...
free?
Freedom.
Pizza. Yeah, Ben.
Did they have pizza?
This guy! This guy knew about them. One of Hitler's favorite things to do was collect scientists and have them work on research projects to create better weapons. Rockets, jet engines, things like that. The very first jet engine was invented by the Nazis. Okay? So... so they escaped Hitler because they knew they would put him to work. So they came to this country and they actually worked for us instead in creating things. So this is what he did. This is the important one. Whoa, I didn't get updated, but that's all right. Hold on, let me a second. I want to reload this because it wasn't correct. I had to change it. So pause. Alright, so, back to Enrico Fermi here on the right. So this is the guy we want to talk about. Albert Einstein came up with a lot of theories for the atomic bomb, but Enrico Fermi, the guy on the right, is the guy we want to talk about. So he created the very first, even though it's kind of cut off there, nuclear chain reaction. Okay? The very first person ever to do, which is huge. Okay? That's a massive step forward in science for us, and I'll explain what that is here in a second. We create the very first nuclear chain reaction. Pretty much what it boils down to, before I talk about it, is breaking particles in half, okay, or into different pieces, which is really, really, really hard to do, okay, and no one ever did it before. It's also very dangerous, because when things break, they tend to go boom, okay, typically, in some levels. So they decide to do it in the extremely safe place of here. The University of Chicago, underneath the football field and stadiums.
What? Under it?
Yeah, literally right under it.
That's still there?
Huh? Yeah.
Can I go visit it?
Yeah, you can go visit it. But yeah, isn't that kind of funny? It's like the very first nuclear chain reaction that we ever did underneath the grandstands of a football field.
Wow.
In a big city.
Yeah, in a massive city, you know, in case that would have gone horribly wrong. But whatever.
Yeah, don't go to like Texas or anything.
I always think that's kind of interesting. But anyways, it works, and this is what he's able to create. So there you go, you see it there. So this is what he does. So he takes a neutron. Everybody understands what a neutron is?
Yeah.
Okay, not like Jimmy Neutron, but just like an actual neutron. Part of a particle. So what he does is he takes that and he literally throws it. You can't throw it, you have to put it in this tube and it shoots it really fast. Against uranium-235. So uranium is an element on the periodic table, okay? It is radioactive in its own ability level, okay? So what he does is he throws this neutron at it. What happens is the nucleus of this uranium breaks into half, okay? This then creates an explosion, and then you have fission particles that come out and more neutrons, and thus it continues to create a chain reaction of this happening over and over and over again, continuing to split and continuing to explode. This is the basic fundamentals of nuclear energy. So really, take something extremely small, throw it against something radioactive, it will break and explode, and continue to do so until there is none left. That make kind of basic sense for chemistry and physics and all that. So this is what he's able to do. Thank goodness he did it against a little itty bitty 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 part of it, so it didn't go big boom. It just went little boom. Okay? And all this stuff is done at like the super, 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 super microscopic level. Okay? You literally can't just throw a piece of uranium against something and it will explode. It's just a rock. Okay? So it won't do anything.
That's
for you.
Radioactive.
Yeah, it's a radioactive rock, but yeah. Not bad. Alright, so that's what it is. So, because of this, the government goes, ooh, we like that, because that creates a lot of energy, explosions, energy. So they create this, the Manhattan Project, and this is everywhere that they did it, okay? All these different sites. You had Oak Ridge in Tennessee, New York, Detroit, Chicago, that's where you just saw, Washington. Anybody been of Hanford, or seen of Hanford, heard of Hanford? Okay, it's a big nuclear waste spot out in eastern Washington. That's because that's where they helped create the atomic bomb. It was a top secret project that nobody used. Built on the Columbia River so it would keep it cool. Now, it's leaking radiation into the ground because, well, we didn't know really a lot about it. Okay? But these are all the different parts, okay? And you got an idea. They employed 129,000 people. This was all top secret. Like Oak Ridge here. They were for making dams, is what the government told everybody. Dams in Tennessee. Well, really, they were helping make the atomic bomb. Okay? So, all these different places. The one we want to talk about here is Los Alamos in New Mexico. This is what it looked like. It's a pretty big place. Okay? Giant facility, military base, kind of all these different parts here. Okay? So, pretty big area out in Los Alamos, New Mexico. Here's a picture of it. The gate. Okay, kind of cool. Here's signs around Los Alamos, the town. Loose talk, a chain reaction of espionage. So it was all a top secret area. Get everybody get the joke? Mm-hmm. Chain reaction. Look, it's a nuclear chain reaction. Come on, folks. It's funny. Come on, giggle at it. So this is what you would see. People lived there. They moved all these scientists and their entire family there. So it was like an actual village, but it was all a top secret village of scientists, nuclear scientists in World War II. So you'd see this stuff there. Here's another one. Hold your tongue, the job's not done. Silence still means security. That'd be a weird billboard to see at school. Like, on your way to school, it's like, what does your dad do? Well, my dad's a security guard. Well, my dad makes an atomic bomb. I'm not quite sure what that is. I mean, it's just a weird thing. I mean, when you talk about, like, government conspiracies and things like that. They literally had a whole city out in the middle of nowhere. That was a complete cover-up. Okay, and people lived there. So, this guy was in charge, though. J. Robert Oppenheimer. okay? Very intelligent American, okay? So he was the leader of the Manhattan Project. So when you saw Einstein and Fermi and all those guys originally, they came up with the science behind it. This guy actually built stuff, okay? So he was at Los Alamos in charge of everything. J. Robert Oppenheimer. So most everything was done in Los Alamos. That was the hip happening place to be. All the parts of the atomic bomb were built everywhere else, but then they put it all together here. All right. So you don't have to write this. Yeah, you don't have to write this. But I wanted you guys to see this. This is kind of what happens at Los Alamos. So I took this as a quote. So finally, in the morning of July 16th, in New Mexico desert, 120 miles south of Santa Fe, the first atomic bomb was detonated. The scientists and a few dignitaries had removed themselves 10,000 yards away to observe as the first mushroom cloud of searing light stretched 40,000 feet into the air and generated a destructive power of 15,000 to 20,000 tons of TNT. The tower which the bomb sat was detonated and vaporized. So this is what happened. They literally went out there with this atomic bomb, put it on a tower, and dropped it into the ground in the middle of nowhere, New Mexico. Okay? Had no idea what it would do. Not a clue. They knew it would go boom, but they didn't know how big. Okay? Or what exactly would happen. There was literally thoughts that this would, like, destroy the world. I mean, that's how unsure they were of this device. So they removed themselves, and when they blew it up, okay, think of the explosive power. You saw the video at the beginning, but, I mean, they were 10,000 yards away, okay? 100 yards would be a football field.
Yeah, that was still...
Yeah, you're ways away, okay? And then the mushroom cloud went 40,000 feet in the air. That's the height of airplanes, like passenger airplanes fly now, 40,000 feet, okay? Even, you know, even a little bit higher than that. That's a huge explosion. Not to mention then the searing heat and all this stuff. So they had no idea what they expected to see. Okay? And then of course you have the 20,000 tons of TNT. Everybody knows this is an Acme TNT boom. Okay? So think of a ton of that. Okay? And then 20,000 of that. All going off at one time. Needless to say, that went boom in a big way.
Okay?
Yeah, they just dropped it from a tower. Yeah. Like I said, though, no idea what to expect. All right.
General Groves was lying on the ground in the prone position, facing away from...
Okay, I think some interesting things said there. So when they blew it up, so it's all in sand there. It was so hot that it turned the sand to glass for 800 yards around it. That's an intense amount of heat. And then from 10,000 yards away, the guy's like, yeah, it felt like the morning sun on me. Think about the amount of heat that caused from 10,000 yards away. You know, world's biggest bonfire you've ever seen.
Okay. I didn't see it. Like, not, you know, military personnel see that or discover the big glass spark.
Well, you're 120 miles away from Santa Fe, which in Santa Fe in 1930, there was, like, literally nobody out there.
Wait,
but
did they come have low radiation and stuff like that?
Oh, yeah.
Did they know that happened? Or did they figure that out more?
Yeah. As for people, you know, after we blow it up. But it's out in the middle of nowhere, Santa Fe. You're just going to nuke a few jackrabbits and coyotes. What's going to happen?
Giant,
you get a three-legged coyote, it's all right. Okay? So this is what they dropped, though. Oh, excuse me. You don't have to write this either, but I want... This is a really important quote. This is from J. Robert Oppenheimer, who created the bomb. So, we knew the world would not be the same. A few people laughed, a few people cried, most were silent. I remember the line from the Hindu scripture, the Bhagavad Gita. Vishnu, who is the god in that religion, is trying to persuade the prince that he should do his duty, and to impress him takes on his multi-armored form and says, "Now I become death, the destroyer of worlds." I suppose we all thought that one way or another. So that's this great scientist, this great savior. That's what he thought of the first time his invention goes off, is now I have become death. That's a pretty ominous thought. I mean, you created this great physicist, this great thing, all the wonderful things nuclear energy has given us, but he also saw the immediate death of it, the nature of it, the true use of it, especially since they're in World War II. I think that's one of the greatest quotes, like, ever. So here we go. This is what they dropped. So, in case you want to build an atomic bomb, the site's open. Okay? So, you literally take a detonator, no different than a gun. This is called a gun design, actually. And you take a conventional charge. You literally take TNT. And you have a little bit of uranium and a little bit more of uranium. This blows, shoots that into there, and it goes boom, just like that. It's simple. Welcome to make an atomic bomb. Not complicated. The only problem is you have to go out and find uranium. Good luck with that, since there's none left out there that we don't know about. But if you want to know how to make an atomic bomb, it's that easy. So you literally take something and explode it so fast that it hits something else. Okay? So this is what they dropped out there. So what this was known as is they copied it and called it Little Boy. Really complicated top-secret government names for the world's worst weapons, okay? So they called this Little Boy, okay? Like I said, it was called the gun design. So it's a uranium bomb. So there's two sort of things, two sort of elements that we use in bombs. One is uranium. So they took Little Boy. So they built two more bombs after they built that big one. We build thousands more later, but we built two more. And the first one they built was Little Boy, because it was little. Compared to the other one, little. Okay? So gun design, pretty simple concept of how to build it. So, don't have to write this, but I want you to understand what this is. So this is how heavy, little, 9,000 pounds, okay? But it was only 10 feet long, okay? So a little bit longer than this table here to here, okay? 28 inches in diameter, so about that, okay? Think of it as like a small submarine. And the explosive force of 15,000 tons. So the same thing that they blew up in the desert. Okay? So that's what they did. That's what they created. This was Little Boy. And this is what they did with it. Actual footage. That's Japan.
I have a feeling they would have a close bathroom.
So,
was it Nagasaki first or Hiroshima?
Hiroshima. So, this is what happens. Yet again, another thing you don't have to write, but I don't want you to see this. So, in 1945 at 8:16 a.m., an American bomber known as the Enola Gay, a famous bomber now, drops the world's first atomic bomb over Hiroshima. Kills 80,000 people as a direct result. 35,000 are injured, and at least another 60,000 will be dead by the end of the year because of the radiation. Okay. Now, pretty brutal thing, and I know a lot of people joke about it, so this gives us a great platform to talk about this. Is people are always like, oh, just nuke them, or just drop an atomic bomb, and that will end the world's problems, okay? It's usually a go-to answer for a lot of people to say. The decision that went into dropping this bomb, we knew the devastation of this, but you got to think of some of the things that goes into it. We had seen so far, like we have talked about in the Pacific War, of all the islands that we had jumped to, and all the brutality of how every Japanese soldier fought to the very end. I mean, the 4,000-plus Marines that died on Iwo Jima and all these things. And it was just brutal. And that was just a little itty-bitty island. So we knew if we invaded Japan, there'd be millions of people that died. Not only Americans, but Japanese as well. So the thought process was, well, we'll kill, 100,000 people, and maybe we don't kill hundreds of thousands of Americans, okay? That was a thought process. It doesn't make it a right thought process, but that was a thought. Now, Hiroshima was not a military site. There was no bomb factory there. There was no gun manufacturing. There was no air base. It was just a city. So, when we talked about the Nazis bombing London or other sorts of attack runs that were done by the losing sides of World War II, where they attacked civilians, or the Nazis just shooting people randomly during their blitzkrieg. Well, America had killed, you know, over 100,000 people in a matter of minutes. Okay, and there were women, children, the whole thing, and not a single one of them, or very few of them, had a military impact of it. So it's a double-edged sword for sure. Here's what it looked like before and after. You can see there's a stadium here, the river. So you can see not a whole lot left afterwards. City afterwards? Not a whole lot left. Another picture?
What's that city like now?
It's rebuilt, that's for sure, but there's still lasting impacts.
Isn't there still radiation there?
Mm-hmm. Wounds, somebody? These are all burn wounds on their back. So, you can see here, the boy survived, but spent an agonizing year and 9 months lying on his face so his wounds can heal. Another person? These are the survivors. This is what it looked like to survive. This woman was wearing a flannel shirt. The heat was so intense it burned the pattern into her skin. People that are vaporized near the center of the explosion.
Those
are still there. I mean, there's no words that can really explain that one. I mean, those are around, the shadows of people. What happens, I mean, the heat is so intense in the middle, where, you know, in the 800 yards of the center, like we talked about with the glass, there's nothing remotely survives. I mean, so much so that you are burning oxygen. Vaporizing oxygen particles. That's how hot we're getting. So pretty brutal stuff. All right, the other one, Fat Man. You guess where they got the name for that one. Okay, see, Little Boy and Fat Man. U.S. military, real creative with our names. Okay, it's because it's a fat bomb. So this is what this one looks like. This one's a little bit different. So they already did the gun one. They just tried something a little bit more conventional. They took the uranium and plutonium, the other radioactive material, and surround it with explosives. They said, watch, we're just going to blow this up. And they'll just combine the plutonium and the uranium will then run into each other and thus create a nuclear reaction. So this took us, you know, thousands of years of human scientific evolution to figure this stuff out, and I know it sounds really simple, but yet again, how to make an atomic bomb, Google it up, this is how you do it. Take these two things, surround it with TNT, and go boom. It does the job. But just good luck finding the parts. Okay. So, this is the weight, just to give you an idea. This one was 10,000, about 1,000 pounds heavier. Same length, a lot wider. So, this weapon though, 10 times the strength of Little Boy. Okay. 21,000 tons of TNT equivalent. And this one was dropped on Nagasaki. Okay, a few days later. So we dropped two atomic bombs, one on Hiroshima, one on Nagasaki. All right, so here's a little video for you. Matt. So here's a kind of a good summary of the thing. So here's the deal. So here's the two bombs you see again. So Nagasaki, worst affected area was in 1.6 miles. 90,000 people died immediately, 140,000 within days. So it was more devastating because the area was flat. Nagasaki, 40,000 people immediately, 70,000 within months. But it was more of a hilly area. Worst affected area was in 1.25 miles. So those are the differences between the bombs. So here are the towns, Nagasaki, Hiroshima, here's Tokyo, just so you have an idea of what they look like. Now, when these detonate, part of the reason why these were so bad, it's not like a traditional bomb. You think you drop the bomb, it hits the ground, it goes boom. Actually, these explode above ground. They explode, like it says here, about 1,000 feet up. Okay? About 1,800 feet up. The explosion then throws itself into the ground, thus where you get a lot of the explosive discharge, because it is not just going boom straight up, where you get most of the release of your energy. It's going straight down and then out. Okay? So that's part of the devastating aspect of this bomb. It's not just a boom and then crater and here we go. No, it's down and out, okay? Which is the devastating impact. I gotta say, there's been few times in the history of man that the world literally changed in a second. This is one of them. I would say one of the easy other ones you can explain would be Pearl Harbor, this one, and then 9/11, where literally the second that those events happened, the world we lived in literally changed. And I can, you know, in a later date we can talk about 9/11 because I lived through that. But in the second that this bomb hit, the whole game of how the world works changed. How we treat each other immediately changed. We now had the explosive power to destroy cities in seconds. Never in human history did anybody have that much power. Japan quickly surrenders after this. Two bombs quickly surrenders. And it's logical to understand why. You know, the devastating impact. This all happened within a matter of days. You lost, what, do the math there, 200,000 plus people in a matter of days? Not to mention the ones that would lose in the years because of the radiation sickness.
That's what? 9/11 is nothing compared to that.
Correct. It is nothing compared to that. And think about the devastation of the war. We lose 4,000 plus Marines on Iwo Jima, and then in a matter of 4 days, you take the lives of over 200,000 people. So Japan already knew that the war was losing, but then sees the devastating weapon that is this, of course, then surrenders. But the reason why the world changes is as soon as you let it's like, everybody heard of Pandora's box? Famous Greek thing, okay? As soon as you'd open up, all the curiosity of the world and the temptation of the world's come in. As soon as you did, you let that cat out of the bag. Okay? Now everybody wants it. Now everybody knows you have it. Yeah. Now everybody's going to treat you different. It's like the first person with a gun. The way you interact with somebody just immediately changes. You now know the force that this has. Now you can also see by the devastation of this why we've never dropped an atomic bomb ever again. The amount of life that would cost. And by the way, we've made them 10 times worse than this. Yeah, these things are nothing compared to what we have now. But it's, you know, now you see the reason why. When people say off the cuff, I'd say we just nuked them whenever we talk about current political issues. Well, here's what it looks like. It's not that simple. It doesn't work that way. When you step over this threshold, it's pretty nasty. And the impacts are lasting. This radiation will last for thousands of years. Okay? All right. So I got a few questions here. You guys got 10 minutes. This will be your homework. But I want you to work on these together and discuss them. And I'm going to discuss them with you.